Oh, turn it up. Here we go. Up here with your crew in an awesome view. Everything you love stacked right in front of you. Got your icon pass, power slash it. 50 plus destinations. Speaking of, did you get your icon pass yet, Sean?
I'm on iconpass.com dropping in right now. Wow. From just $2.59 adult, everyone knows you get the best price in the spring.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Okay, done. So pass the good stuff. Yeah, it's the good stuff. Woo!
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batson with Vijay Vatiswaran, the energy and green innovation editor for The Economist magazine. We're looking at what's happening right now with regard to the IPCC report of a timeline that is crushing us about the mid of this century, leading to a radical, dramatic, profound, and threatening transformation of the climate we've come used to in these last several hundred years of the Enlightenment and the Industrial Revolution. A timeline, a clock that's ticking. Hollywood loves it, but there's nothing lovable about this unless what is striking, Vijay, to learn is that there are now investors ready and putting their money in right now who maybe never existed before for innovation, for patent taking out, for dreams. And the one that strikes me as most unusual is family offices. Those are extremely well-to-do families who have standalone organizations that involve all members of the family. They don't necessarily subscribe to a bank that has lots of customers. This is one customer all the time. To learn that family offices are investing in these ideas for green innovation means we're not looking just at 2050. We're looking at the next century. Do I read that correctly?
You're absolutely right. What we're finding is the role played by philanthropic and family money in venture capital is doubled. From 10 years ago, we see double the share from those sources of money coming into risky ventures in green energy, in ag tech and so on, the things related to climate. And this is happening in Europe where you'd expect it because they tend to be greener, but we're seeing it in the United States. Even, for example, Steve Jobs' widow, Lauren Powell Jobs, is a big funder in this area with her philanthropy. We see Mackenzie Bezos, formerly married to Jeff Bezos of Amazon money, putting huge amount of money into this area of climate. Jeff Bezos himself is putting his own personal fortune into climate. But we also see the family of George Mitchell, who was a pioneer in shale, who was really the godfather of fracking. His family is putting money into climate change and environmental groups. And so we're seeing very interesting developments. And the importance of this is it's often the younger generation of these families that's pressing the oldies to say, we made our money. Let's do something for the future. Let's do something for my generation, grandpa, as it were. And, but also for the future, let's give back to society by investing in longer term investments for climate and innovation that the markets would probably not invest in.
Lessons learned from the first iteration of clean tech, green tech. The first lesson learned is go after large industries. What does that mean, Vijay?
You know, my father once told me when I was a young man, don't major in minor subjects. And that has served me well in life. And so when it comes to investments, venture capitalists that have survived the first clean tech boom, tell me one of the lessons is if you're going to make risky bets, first of all, make lots of them, have a lot of shots on goal, you're more likely to get something in. But secondly, pick ideas that can change the world in a big way. That is, don't pick something that might have only a small impact and be profitable, but have a small impact on the climate change problem if it succeeds. Pick a problem like food waste, for example. There are several startups in this area that are trying to reduce the amount of waste in food. You might say, well, what's the big deal? Well, it turns out when we really look closely, there's so much food that is rotted, for example, fruits at the grocery store that go off and are then rubbished or put into landfills and release greenhouse gases, that source of greenhouse gases is bigger than the global cement industry's emissions, which is often in the news as a big greenhouse gas polluter. And so if you can attack that problem, you would have an enormous impact. And that's an example of coming up with ideas that can really change the world. And one of the innovative startups in this area has come up with a plant-based material that you can apply onto your fruits and vegetables, or that your grocery store would apply, perfectly safe to eat and can be washed off, but that extends the life of those fruits and vegetables by a few days than they would currently live. That's an example where there's no reduction in consumer benefits. On the contrary, the peach I bought now will last a few more days. It's good for me, but it's also good for the environment.
Another lesson: late stage venture capital gives confidence to early stage, and that didn't happen 15 years ago. The fact that JP Morgan is interested in late stage tells venture capital early stage to get involved. Is that the way to read this?
That's a big deal. In fact, that's probably the number one financial difference between the clean tech bust of 12 years ago and today's climate tech boom, is the early investors. Of course, they want to get their money out, right? They're self-interested. They're not doing this only because they want to save the earth. They have their own funders, and so they have a fiduciary obligation to find a way to make their money back. And what happens is they look for exits, and those exits before were nowhere to be had, or they were hard to find because there were not late-stage investors and growth capital, as it's called in the business. Today, a number of the leading private equity giants, in fact, just in the month of July, more than $16 billion worth of private equity money, that's smart money and a huge amount of money, was committed by big companies like BlackRock and Singapore's Temasek, which is a big government fund, TPG from Texas. These guys are super sharp, and they're not known to be excessively green in the past. Well, they're putting in billion-dollar funds plus to invest specifically in climate technology innovation companies at the later stage. That is to take over from the venture capitalists after the idea is proven, to help those companies grow and commercialize and become $100 million companies and hopefully $1 billion companies. That's the part of the financial sector that was missing before that has now come in a strong way.
Vijay, 30 seconds. Collaboration. Is that present today? Does it exist? 30 seconds.
Increasingly, we're seeing collaboration, and this matters because with risky ideas, we used to have 25 venture capitalists and entrepreneurs going after the same solar idea, beating the margins into the ground, and they all failed. Today, they're more likely to work together on some tough ideas and share the risk and ultimately share the rewards, and society gets the rewards.
Vijay Vetiswaran, the energy and green innovation editor for The Economist magazine. The future, it's just not as well organized yet. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Oh, turn it up.
Got your icon pass, power slash it. 50 plus destinations.
Speaking of, did you get your icon pass yet, Sean?
I'm on iconpass.com dropping in right now. Wow, from just $259 adult? Okay, done.
Installing a battery in your home can help you be prepared for when major storms hit. Energy Storage Solutions helps eligible Connecticut homeowners with Eversource or UI lower the cost of energy storage backup. Learn more at energystoragect.com.